going to stay working and you, mm-hmm. you're making the money, but the last thing you want to do when you get home from work is exercise. And yeah. do the stuff that you get.
Like, I know drain, you right? work out a lot. I work. I got to go right from work to the gym. If I go home first, it's not going to happen. The gym needs mm-hmm. to be in between mm-hmm. work and home. Where it's not going to happen. Once I get home, I'm done.
Yeah. So it seems.
Even if I take a shoe off, I'm done. I'm not going back out. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So we want to wish everybody, first of all, a happy Labor Day.
Yeah, we happy hope, Labor Day, everyone.
We hope you are not laboring and that you have the day off.
And if not, we thank you for your labor.
For your labor. This was interesting to research for this episode because I didn't really know much about Labor Day. In my mind, Labor Day is just the end of the summer.
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, when you're a kid, it's like, oh man, Labor Day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of Memorial Day weekend when you're excited, but you don't really know what Memorial Day weekend is either. So for Labor Day, it actually is about labor, even though we don't really talk about that.
I always thought Labor Day was the one before the summer when I was the kid,
yeah,
because it
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of like ends the labor that yeah. you were doing all year.
I just remember asking people, like, why do we celebrate Labor Day? And they're like, it's a 3-day weekend. What's your problem? Like, yeah. That's it.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, like, be happy.
Yeah.
It's 3 days
yeah.
in a row. So I got this from the Department of Labor,
because
I was
okay.
like, who would know more?
Why not start
why not?
There?
So Labor Day is the first Monday in September, always. It's the creation. Did you know that?
No.
It's the creation of the labor movement, and it's dedicated to the social and economic achievement of government workers. Someone in the government worked really hard on this text. So, like, basically, I did a little research on the history. So the first governmental recognition was in 1885/1886, mm-hmm. and after that, there was a movement to develop it through different state legislatures. So the
yeah.
first bill was in New York, of course, because who works harder?
Right.
And who deserves a day off more than New Yorkers? But the first law was passed in Oregon in 1887. I guess there were like 8 people there. 2 of them worked. Like,
okay.
In my mind, Oregon is like empty
yeah,
in
right.
1877. So by 1894, 23 other states jumped on the bandwagon. And by June 28th of 1894, Congress passed an act making it the first Monday in September, a legal holiday in D.C. and in all the states and in all the whole country.
That's funny because the first U.S. Labor Day was celebrated on a Tuesday.
Yeah, well, this is why they had to make it an official thing. So
right.
apparently there's some doubt about who founded it. There are 2 guys. One's named McGuire,
yeah.
like M.C., and the other was McGuire.
Yeah. Is it the McGuire or the McGuire?
Isn't the McGuire. So many believe that Matthew McGuire, who was a machinist, invented it, and not Peter J. McGuire, who was the general secretary of the Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners. That sounds like a fun group. I like Brotherhood.
The Brotherhood?
Yes.
The it scares me a little bit. When guys who work together say they're in a brotherhood, I'm like,
But I wonder, like, do they really feel like they're in a brotherhood?
I think they do. I think that they, like, kind of, I imagine them giving each other, like, little pats.
Yeah.
Like, on the back and, like.
Like pig iron worker, yes.
Around the shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, hey, brother.
Like, it's actually brotherly. So, he was General Secretary of the Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners and co-founder of the American Federation of Labor, which I kind of remember a little bit from school. And he said that the day was to honor those who, quote, who from rude nature have delved and carved all the grandeur we behold. I had to read that a couple times.
Say it again.
From rude nature. So he's talking about from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
These guys created something. From rude nature, they have delved and carved all the grandeur we behold. I thought
that
the dudes were rude, of rude nature, but it's the material.
Yeah, I thought it meant like we're just
basic.
Animals the way
yes.
that we work. We have to become civilized
yes.
in our work
and
ways.
And join a brotherhood
right.
to do so. So it's either the machinist, Matthew McGuire, or Peter McGuire, the guy who was in the labor force.
I pick him.
I think him. But he said, what is clear is that the Central Labor Union adopted the Labor Day proposal and appointed a committee to plan a demonstration and a picnic. So they kind of got everything together. The first celebration was September 5th on a Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
as you said earlier, 1882 in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost didn't happen because according to the little research they came up with, so it's early in the morning and they're like, we're going to have a Labor Day parade. The officials are there. It's in Lower Manhattan near Broadway. Everyone showed up. The parade marches there. Everyone's looking like they've gotten up in the rafters or wherever they can see whatever's going on. People have gone in the second floor of buildings. They really want to get there. People came on horses. People were decked out. They were wearing society aprons, which mm-hmm. I wish we still had. I think
society aprons.
Yeah, they're like the aprons like unionists or like politicians used to wear. The people had flags out, musical instruments, badges. They had everything that you would need. The police were there because they thought there would be a riot because, you know, America.
Yeah.
And they forgot the most important thing, which was a marching band. So when the people realized there was no marching band, they started giving the guy, the grand marshal of the parade was William McCabe. They were like, dude.
What's up with this?
Should we even do this? Like, seriously, people were like, should we, why are we here? Like, how are we going to march?
Because there's no band.
What are we going to march to? We're just going to hum? Like, just shuffle along?
So they were
pissed. People were pissed, and they were, like, heckling the guy. Like, you know, you suck. Like, call it off. Luckily, out of Newark, New Jersey, a group of 200 jewelers were coming to celebrate Labor Day. Happened to have
Hello.
A band.
Yeah, they exactly. just happened to have a band with us.
They happened to have a band.
The jewelers.
So they marched to the front. They marched around everybody. Marched to the front and just kicked it off.
That's the way to do it. Everybody working
yes.
together.
So then... instead of just, because there were only a few people at that point who were actually going to march without the band,
mm-hmm.
everybody joined in, and they said it processed between 10,000 and 20,000 people.
Wow.
Everyone just joined. Like, instead of having, because they were like, they realized that there weren't enough people officially there to march, and there was, but the band apparently, I'm hoping it was like Klezmer or something fun. Mm-hmm. You know?
You're
like,
right.
Some kind of a fun band. So they processed, and then by noon, they got down to Reservoir Park, which is way downtown. And people hung out there. Then the party continued at a place called Wendell's Elm Park
mm-hmm.
on 92nd Street and got raucous. Union people showed up. Non-union people showed up. There were speeches, a picnic, cigars. And the quote, direct quote is, large beer kegs mounted in every conceivable place.
Oh. So if you saw a spot, there would be a beer keg there.
Yeah, there would be a beer keg there.
Wow.
So the party went on from 1 to 9. That's a long party.
That's a long party.
8 hours of party. 25,000 union members and their families filled the park.
Well, actually, to celebrate an 8-hour workday.
Yeah.
8-hour party.
So they partied and partied and partied. And that was the first Labor Day. So that kind of set the scene for future Labor Day parades, where you would have, like, people giving speeches, picnics, the marching, of course, the band. Thank you, Jewelers of Newark.
Yeah.
You know, for kicking that off. So that was the first parade. It almost didn't happen due to lack of... I can't believe they didn't have a band set up. This is the late 1800s.
Just
bad planning.
Yeah, so they...
Yeah. What else does a marching band do but lead a procession? Like...
Who dropped the ball on that?
Well, they're saying that's William McCabe. That's why they were heckling him.
Oh.
I imagine at least one tomato flew.
At least one. Some cabbages.
Who's in charge here?
Wow.
So that's really the first Labor Day.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah, for Newark. Newark, New Jersey.
Right. But one of the things that the labor unions, that the unions themselves have helped eradicate was that these horrible, long, long working days, 12 hours or more a day.
I was reading in one country, I think it was in Canada, they were agitating for a 58-hour work week. That was their first move.
Wow.
They're like, can we just do 58 hours a week?
Just
it's insane.
58 hours a day.
Yeah. And they shot that down.
Yeah, they would work, you had to work 7 days a week, no breaks, probably locked in your facility wherever you worked. The kids, the 5 and 6 year olds were working as well.
Well, yeah, because small hands, they could slip in between the pieces of equipment and get stuff done that larger hands could not.
Right. And so in the late 1800s, the average American worked 12-hour days, 7-day weeks, to eke out a basic living.
When did people... That's why people drank, I guess.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you get off work, you got to relax right away.
Yeah, well, but they didn't have much time. And that's why the 8-hour work week started, because they said you split up, there's 24 hours in a day. Eight hours to work, 8 hours to rest, to sleep.
Yeah.
To actually sleep. And then 8 hours for
relaxing.
Leisure.
Yeah, there's a... When I lived in Eastern Europe, there was a song. It was... Njolt ora munka, njolt ora pihenesh, njolt ora sorikozash. So it's like nine
That's
hours.
Beautiful, the
thank
way
you.
That just rolled off your
Probably
tongue.
Probably mispronounced. It's like 8 hours of work, 8 hours of sleep, and 8 hours of relaxation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have the three important things in your life.
But what it turns out for us nowadays, in the way that we work, it's an hour to commute.
Yeah.
2 hours
They
to
don't
commute.
Think about that extra time.
Yeah. getting ready for work,
mm-hmm.
and then the other things that you have to do in the meantime.
But most people that I know that work a lot of white-collar jobs, no matter how fancy or not fancy they are, they don't get out at 5.
Mm-hmm.
They're still there because they have stuff to do.
Yes.
Even though the work hour is, I mean, the time that's allotted for the work is over, but mm-hmm. they still have work to do.
Yes.
So, all right.
And then wearing white after Labor Day.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I didn't have a chance to research, so please drop an egg of knowledge on me, because
traditionally people did not wear white or seersucker clothes after Labor Day, is it?
Why seersucker?
Seersucker. It's a lightweight fabric.
No, I know what it is,
but
it's like... Well,
people usually wear dark clothes all year long, especially workers. That's what they all wear.
But it's still hot.
No, but the idea is that the wealthier people, the people that did not necessarily have to work,
mm-hmm.
when summertime came, they changed to white. And it was
Didn't get dirty.
It was a sign that you were part of the leisure class, that you could relax and wear the white clothing.
I agree with that now, because whenever I see people wearing all white in New York, I'm like, you're clearly not taking public transportation.
Yeah.
Like, you're clearly going from your penthouse to a car to, like, Boulé.
Yes, it was a way to symbolically distance yourself from the working class.
Wow. It wasn't just enough to be, like, rich.
Yeah.
You had to also wear white and rub it in everyone's face.
Yeah, and you also left. You left
town.
You left town. You went to the warmer climates and you wore light summer clothing.
I wonder if anyone tried to throw soot on them. Damn rich people.
No, it was a pleasing contrast to the drabber urban life. If you look at any photograph of any city in America in the 1930s, you see people in dark clothes.
Yeah, because it's filthy.
Yeah.
Right? And black hides.
And then they're all running, they're scurrying about going to their jobs. Mm-hmm. And by contrast, the white linen suits and Panama hats and snooty resort looks were the looks of leisure.
That's interesting. Yeah. Because it's always funny because, you know, when we were younger, every fashion line, like the hot, better fashion lines were like resort wear. And I never understood what that was because we're just working class, middle class.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? Like resort wear. I'm like, what resort?
Oh.
Like, where are people going?
Yeah, well, but people also go on vacation.
Yeah.
They go to... summer, or they go to winter in other places. They go to warmer climates to winter.
To winter.
And so you can't get your warmer weather clothes in the winter.
True, true.
Unless you order
them
special, so it's resort wear.
It's so weird. I don't have any resort wear. It's just pretty much jeans and cutoffs and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's my resort wear. I don't have any cruise wear either, is a whole other line of clothing.
Yeah. I used to look at the cruise wear like, one day I'll take a
Me
cruise.
Me too. That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to take a cruise.
No, I don't want to take a cruise. I think I've been on a cruise. There's no particular look for the people on a cruise. It's just like they're just wearing whatever they would wear in a warm climate.
Yeah.
I would love to go on a cruise and see everyone wearing all white suits and Panama hats.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
No, that's if you're on a yacht, if you're going to sail with a group of people for a week or two.
But that's not, I'm thinking Carnival cruise.
No.
That's not exactly what happened.
No.
That's interesting. I was worrying about that white after Labor Day. When I was growing up, it was really serious. You do not wear white after Labor Day. And then it became a thing where we're like, what about off-white? What about mm-hmm. winter white?
Mm-hmm.
Right? A nice cream. Ecru. That was okay.
That was okay. And it also, you have to look at your fabrics, too.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wear the right fabric in the right season.
I just remember asking my mom, like, why can't we wear white after Labor Day? She's like, just don't.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it. I'm like, she's like, we don't do it. I'm like, we're not even important.
Don't bring shame to this house.
Yes, do not bring shame upon this family. And Coleman's Corner.
Yeah, I still can't really wear white after Labor Day.
I don't do it either.
I get
unless I'm on vacation, so I guess it's stuck with us. Like yeah. I don't wear white at all. I don't wear white a lot anyway because I know if I wear white, I will get my period spill wine on me and eat pasta.
Oh, yeah, right? That's like absolutely that happens.
So maybe that's another reason not to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, wearing white after Labor Day.
Yes.
So I looked at Labor Day in other countries. And I thought it was really interesting. Most people celebrate something called May Day.
Oh.
Which is May 1st, and it's like the International Workers' Day, which ironically, although the concept of it started in the United States, and it is, some people do observe it in the United States, it is the rule in most countries, except for the United States and Canada. Mm-hmm. And on International Workers' Day, or like May Day, you actually talk about labor.
Okay.
You think about labor. There may be protests. There may be agitation for, you know, better practices for labor. Whereas here, it's just like, nah, it's a free day off. Stop complaining.
Yeah, right.
Enjoy your one day. So this is in Canada. They have Labor Day. It was the Fête du Travail.
That was, again, a beautiful pronunciation.
Thank you. I'm working on it. Just don't ask me to do, like, any character work.
Okay.
So it's been celebrated on Monday in September since the 1880s. And apparently the Peter J. Maguire was in Toronto before he, and doing some convention work there. And that's when he decided, when he came back, to kick this thing off, possibly, if you believe it was Peter J. Maguire and not the other Maguire.
Right.
Like, depending on who you think it is.
Which Team Maguire are you on?
Yeah.
Team Maguire or Team Maguire?
I'm on Peter J. Maguire's team, hashtag PJ Maguire. So basically, they were agitating in 1872 in Toronto for the 58-hour work week. We just want to work 58 hours. And it was the Toronto Trades Assembly. They had 27 unions get together. Mm-hmm. And the typographical union, which sounds weird now, but that was extremely important mm-hmm. back then. People who were doing typesetting. They obviously, if you're going to have any kind of a protest, you need those guys, because who's going to print it up mm-hmm. and put it together? So they got together, and then a politician, George Brown, who was the editor of a newspaper, was like, this is no good, mm-hmm. obviously, because those are his workers. And he doesn't want them working just 58 hours a week. So then he said that it was a conspiracy. I'm like, well, yeah, conspiracy to work less.
Yeah, right.
A conspiracy to have free time. So even though the laws against criminalizing union activities were still in the books, so they had to change that as well. Then they pressed in 1873 for just a 54-hour work week.
Wow.
They're like, we'll cut it back to that. And then they kept agitating and agitating. So basically their Labor Day came out of kind of a protest mm-hmm. movement. And then they continue to celebrate. We're the only two countries that celebrate Labor Day at this time. Yeah. Everyone else is doing it in May, apparently. And they also have the thing in Canada. They also observe the no wearing white after Labor Day. It says the same thing. It was a status symbol for new members mm-hmm. of upper and middle class. So mm-hmm. I guess the old school rich were like, I'll wear whatever I want. I'm loaded.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, right.
It's
right.
The bougie people who were like, oh, we're not going to wear white after Labor Day. Mm-hmm. We're not the common folk. So that's kind of interesting.
That is really interesting. But, you know, with Labor Day, it's not just union workers. It's anybody who
works.
It's
everybody,
and
yeah.
It's about our the way that we work today and the way that our...
Which is too much.
It's too much, but it also doesn't fit with the way we live mm-hmm. anymore. It used to be the 40-hour work week was great when it was just the men going to work and the ladies stay home and they took care of the kids and they brought the kids to school and back and somebody was always at home. But now with two parents working, and this is the way we are.
And the commute.
The commute.
And also, I was talking, because school is just starting. I was just teaching over the summer, but I was just casually talking to some of the parents. It's really hard because now the work week and the school day are so completely different. One parent was telling me that their kids get out at 2:15.
Yeah. What do you do?
What are you supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do with
the
kids?
Who is supposed to pick up your kids at 2:15?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense at all. I always thought that of course, when I was a kid, I was like, this is awesome. We got out like 3:30, mm-hmm. maybe 4. I don't know why it got to 2:15, but then I guess you have an after-school program that goes until 6. But why not just have school be the same time
as the work
as after. Close to work right. as you can have it?
Right, because now the kids, then you have to pay more for after-school care mm-hmm. or for programs to keep your kids in these programs.
Yeah.
And not only that, after school, even if you get out at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever it is, you have other after-school activities.
Yeah.
Who's driving all these kids around?
I have no idea. I never thought about that as a kid growing up, but I think I grew up with a single mom, and I'm sure she had to do some juggling, mm-hmm. but it seemed like the school day was a little better matched. So we would have school, especially Catholic school, mm-hmm. we'd have school, and then afterwards we would have our sports.
Yeah.
And our sports got out around the same times that, you know, people's parents or grandparents were getting home from work.
Right.
So it was like your parents would just drive by the field and be like, get in.
Yeah.
Like, practice is over. You just hop in the car and you go home.
And also, it was a little more lax at the time. You could just mm-hmm. say, Grandpa, go pick up Emily at wherever.
Or you could be late.
You could
be late. You could be just like 5 or 6 kids hanging out at the
now
field.
Now everything has to be, you have to call ahead or have a signed note or something, some authorization to pick up your child. You can't just say, oh, you know, Jaquetta, go pick up.
Yeah, you have to have because I offered to pick up some of my friend's kids. They're like, it's not going to happen.
No, you can't.
Some places, too, charge $1 a minute if you're late. So if you're like a private school or private, you know, a private program, $1 a minute if you're late.
Wow. Well, that'll learn you.
I guess.
Well, because parents are like, you know, somebody is now watching my child for free.
True. And,
yeah.
It's $1 a minute.
Right.
So that'll cut back.
And gone also is the whole, this is not about necessarily about work, but when we grew up, all the mothers were home. on the block. Most of them.
Some of them. Like, definitely, if your mother wasn't home, you went to someone's mother.
Right. But you could always go to somebody else's house, and it was okay. You didn't have to have a scheduled play date. And it was always, it would all come out in the wash. The mothers took turns.
If your parents could not get you, you would simply go to your neighbor's house or someone else's house and hang out with them until...
Yeah, but that doesn't happen anymore because nobody...
It's all scheduled.
It's all scheduled and nobody is going to do this service for you for free because everything is...
Paid. $1 a minute. Because $1 a minute. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
There are a couple of... at the beginning of the school year this year, there are a bunch of half days. I'm like, I don't know what people are going to do. When you're hitting
a half day?
Yeah, what are you
going to do with half days? What do you do about... Now, school is out for different breaks at different times.
Yeah.
And what do you do about work?
What do you do during that time? So what's your suggestion?
There's a lot of the flex work.
Okay.
You know, working from home, maybe having a couple of people being able to do the same job.
Job sharing.
And
these are all, like, these are ideas I feel like keep coming around. Mm-hmm. Like, when I first started working for real in my 20s, but for real, I mean, like, you know, full-time, office-y type of job, we would hear about, like, job sharing and things, but I never saw it. Mm-hmm. I never saw any flexibility at all. You would hear about it, but I have not seen that kind of flexibility.
The thing is, the employers have to be assured that what they're paying people to do is going to get done. Mm-hmm. So if the employer is just leaving it to certain people to do their work without knowing or without seeing, like, you're not coming into work, or is the assignment getting done? They have to have that assurance, and then it'll
this is, on. I always say cynically, this is like plantation mentality, because I was reading up on this a little bit. It's the idea of, like, so during the Industrial Revolution, the bosses or the overlords or whatever you want to call them wanted to see everybody toiling.
Yes.
And we still have that kind of, so I read some research that said that they asked a lot of, I don't call them overseers, supervisors. They ask a lot of supervisors, like, is it important for you to be able to see your employees working hard? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yes. They literally want to, like, be able to look and see what everybody's doing. And in their minds, that assures them that it's getting done, as opposed to looking at the output. So if your employee, if you don't see your employee working on X, but X gets done, why worry about it?
Yeah.
Right? Why do you, so the idea, I always say to people in the United States, we don't work necessarily hard, but we have to work long.
Yeah.
You have to FaceTime.
Yes.
You have to be there.
You
be
have
seen.
To look like you're working and look like you're giving extra.
For sure, most people are on Facebook, like 30% of the day, which I find fascinating because I haven't worked, I've been freelancing for a long time. I haven't worked in an office for a long time. You were working in an office.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of time that people spend on Facebook has to cut into work. Because it's like, it's, and it's during the workday. So when you look at the metrics of Facebook, it's like everyone is on, like when I go onto Facebook, which I just started doing again, I'm on there like during basic working hours. I'm not working, but I'm like, everyone I know who has a job is on there.
Yeah.
They're doing it at work.
Yeah, it's become this whole meld of personal time, work time. So you're doing work at home. You're also doing work at work.
Yeah.
You're also on Facebook at work.
You're doing social. But also, I feel like it's because if you're stuck sitting at a cubicle for 8 hours, you want to have something else going on.
Well, that's another thing. There, people are not meant to focus so intensely on something for a prolonged amount of time. It says every hour that you work, you need about 17 minutes to separate your mind.
So you
from
45
task.
Minutes is what you can do. You could do 45 minutes before you have to do something else, and that's why I think the Facebook is not a negative thing. It's like something else you can do.
Yeah.
For a few minutes to, like, get your mind off your
task. It's like a refresh button.
Yeah.
You just kind of reset yourself.
So most of the office work I've done recently has been, like, creative stuff and writing. And even that is, it's interesting. But after, like, a half an hour, I'm like, I can't. This looks like crap. I got to do something else.
Right.
You know? And there's nowhere to go. I was just going to say that something I found interesting. In New Zealand, Labor Day is a public holiday on the fourth Monday in October. And it starts with, they had an 8-hour movement as well. Mm-hmm. So in 1840, they were like, there was a carpenter called Sam Parnell. And he just straight up was like, I'm not working more than 8 hours. And that's it. I'm not working more than 8 hours a day. And that's
so
the end of it.
So he set the tone.
Yeah, he just put his foot down. And then he told his other, you know, the other people, he was like, you don't do it either. You tell them we're working 8 hours a day. So basically, they just started saying, look, we're not going to do it. They stopped working more than 8 hours a day. And then 50 years later, They got the 8 hours a day, but then 50 years later, they commemorated it with a parade, and that's how kind of the Labor Day. So it was called Labor Day or 8-Hour Demonstration Day. And in 1899, the government said that it was going to be a public holiday starting in 1900. But because of the different provinces, the way they were set up, each province was having it on a different day. So employers were complaining, specifically the ship owners were complaining that the seamen were taking 8 days off a year saying, hey, it's Labor Day over there. It's Labor Day over here.
Right.
So then they were like, we got to have one Labor Day.
One Labor Day.
So they made it one Labor Day in 1910. So for 10 years... Yeah, for 10 years, the seamen were like, it's Labor Day over there.
Yeah, so...
We're in solidarity with those guys. We're not coming to work. So I thought that was interesting. So they literally just, in New Zealand, it's a small country, and one dude was like, you know what? 8 hours, and that's it. Yeah. Not doing it.
I have a conspiracy theory.
About Labor Day?
About the 40-hour work week.
Are lizard people involved?
I wish. Okay. I wish there were lizard people.
Illuminati.
All of that, I wish. But it says, I've only been back at work a few days, but I'm already noticing that the more wholesome activities are quickly dropping out of my life.
Wholesome?
Yeah, walking, exercising, reading, meditating, extra writing. So all the things that you really like to do when you're to have a nice
walking? Round. Wow,
yeah,
that's rough.
Take a walk.
Yeah. Well, you can't do it at work.
Yeah.
You get home, it's dark.
The thing about these activities, they cost little or no money, but they take time to do. But when you work, you have more money and less time.
True.
So you spend this day working, and you're making the money, but the last thing you want to do when you get home from work is exercise. And do the stuff that you get.
Work out a lot. I work. I got to go right from work to the gym. If I go home first, it's not going to happen. The gym needs to be in between work and home. Where it's not going to happen. Once I get home, I'm done.
Yeah. So it seems.
Even if I take a shoe off, I'm done. I'm not going back out.
Right. So it's true. But if the answer is to work less so you can have more free time to do these
other
things.
But then you're broke.
But then you don't. Right.
The only thing you can do is take a walk.
Yeah. Then you have all the time.
You can't pay your car
exercise.
Payment. Or car note. People don't say car note anymore. I like that word.
I like notes.
Yeah. You got to pay your car note.
The idea is now people, they want you to stay. They want to take your time. Even though the productivity levels are low, you're not really getting everything. You're not really giving the output.
They keep saying that people don't have more productivity. I'm like, they're tired.
Yeah, basically.
They're tired, and you're not going to get any more out of them.
Right, after 5 hours, you're not going to get anything more.
I bet you if you gave them 25% more money, you might, but you're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. You want them to do more at the same low rate, and they're tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says here, the average office worker gets less than 3 hours of actual work done in 8 hours.
Wow, it's that low?
That low.
See, I'm a freelancer, and so that just doesn't cut it for us, because we have to justify its project base. And sometimes the hours are not we're trying to get as much of it as few time as possible and then just get the rate and get out of there.
But here's where the conspiracy theory comes
in. Oh, wait, I forgot what conspiracy.
Yes, the 8-hour workday is too profitable for big businesses, not because of the amount of work people do in 8 hours to get it done, because it makes for such a purchase-happy public. Meaning, it makes people, the scarce amount of free time.
You pack spending into it?
Yeah, people pay a lot more for convenience, gratification, and any other relief that money can buy.
Oh.
And so it keeps them watching television, the commercials. Yeah. It keeps them unambitious to do other things because their time is taken up.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think about that sometimes too. It's interesting because in times in my life when I've had jobs that paid me a lot where I didn't have to work a lot, I did start pursuing other things, but I was just happier. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I slacked off at the job. Mm-hmm. I just had more time to do other things. I was, on the other hand, though, the hotels.com was trying to push a legislation, I want to say like 5 years ago, to institute paid vacation because people in the United States don't take enough vacation. Mm-hmm. And when people take vacation, they spend money and fuel the economy. Mm-hmm. So the kind of services that someone who doesn't have, the kind of money that someone is spending a lot of that doesn't have a lot of time is in a different category than the kind of money you would spend if you had like 4 weeks paid vacation.
Oh, right.
Like if you had 4 weeks paid vacation, you'd be going out for maybe the movies more, maybe shows more. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be doing vacation stuff as opposed to these kind of things, but it's like ordering Chinese food.
Yeah.
Right. Or getting a massage because you have to, as opposed to getting like a luxury facial on a spa day because it's fun and you want to and you have the time.
Yeah. It says all of America's well-publicized problems, including obesity, depression, pollution, corruption, are what it costs to create and sustain trillion-dollar economy.
Yeah. Well, that's capitalism.
Yeah. For the economy to be healthy, America has to remain unhealthy. Happy, healthy people don't feel like they need much that they don't have.
Well, that's why, I mean, no one used to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, no, you would actually do activities outside because you had time. When I was growing up on the weekends, most of the men in our community worked online. So they were, like, doing factory work. But they had the weekends off. So on the, and they got home early. Mm-hmm. So at night they would do stuff. They maybe play basketball or they would have a baseball league. Mm-hmm. They would get together and they would do things that were physical. Mm-hmm. But now there's no time to be doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Plus, you're probably sitting at your desk all day, sedentary. So you have to join a gym.
Yeah.
Right, and then you have to pay $100 or $150 a week to run in place inside.
Yes,
in a carpet because you don't have time.
Yeah, and you have to do it when it's convenient.
You have 45 minutes.
Yeah. So these gyms that are open late.
Yep.
And you can get in there.
You
when
can
you
get
need
in
to.
There. There's a couple of women at the gym that I go to. I'm always amazed. It's a step aerobics class because I'm old school,
and this place
still has the old school step aerobics. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
But so some of these women they come in late. Like with their back, like they're dressed already. So I guess they dressed before they left work. They come in and then they are 5 minutes late and they have to run out and leave 10 minutes early. I'm like, what is the? But they're still paying the gym membership, right? But they're only there for like 35 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's something. That's getting some exercise in.
But and maybe they are fit, getting fit. But at the same time, they're stressed out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's a problem too.
Yeah.
So you're stressed out. You got to pay someone to help you with that.
Yeah, when you're on that kind of cycle when it's go, 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 that eventually gives way. So it's the law, Parkinson's law, that is used to in reference to this kind of time usage. The more time you've been given to do something, the more time it will take you to do it. So if you're told to
get work done in this. Yeah, like water. It fills up the space or air. Mm-hmm. Parkinson's law?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that. Especially if you're, well, what about people who bill by the hour, I think, are the only ones. And those are mostly male professions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, traditionally male professions, like lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
The time, like, every hour that they work, they get paid for. Unlike most people, you're getting paid X salary. And it doesn't matter if you work 40 hours or 100 hours. Mm-hmm. You still have to get that stuff done. So what's the rush?
Right.
Right?
Right.
I like that. I have a thing here that's interesting. It's a... We say we have a 40-hour work week in the United States, but according to research, it's actually 47 hours is what the majority of people work.
Really?
And they said here, despite the fact that studies show that the most productive workers in the world work fewer hours, as you were saying. So it takes 8 hours, you know, you get 3 hours of work done. I would say if you do 3 hours of work and you have to be there for 8 hours, why is just the other 5 hours just screw off? They can turn off the lights, right? Turn off the air conditioning.
Right.
And, like, let everybody, you know, get on with their lives. So there was a survey here from a travel marketing firm, because it's travel companies that are the most concerned about this. In other countries, they have 4 or 5 weeks of vacation. Here, it says more than half, this survey was taken, like, towards the end of the year. It said more than half of Americans haven't taken a single vacation day in a year.
Wow.
18% have taken fewer than 5 vacation days. More than a quarter of Americans don't get any vacation days.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there are people who are working jobs where there's no vacation days at all. Obviously, the lower income, the fewer vacation days. Only a quarter of people making 70, if you make between $75,000 and $150,000, you have a 25% chance of taking vacation days.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Wow.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Women take less vacation than men. More women report taking 0 days off.
Why?
They just don't take any time off.
Because they're so inundated with other things.
Yeah, they have other things. So taking a day off might not necessarily mean having a free day, so why take it? More than 40% of Americans, and this is what I keep hearing anecdotally, that 40% of Americans who get paid vacation don't take it. I have never had a job with paid vacation. If I do, I will take it first, just in case I have to leave that job.
Yeah.
15% of people say they haven't taken paid time off for anything except for illness or emergency. That's not vacation time.
No.
Right? People on the West Coast take more vacation than everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're already living in vacation.
Yeah, that's part of their lifestyle, though. That's a different mentality that they have.
And then people living in urban areas take more vacation than people living in rural or suburban areas. Mm-hmm. And then people who don't have children take less vacation than children. I think that people who have children, yeah. I think that parents are taking vacation times off to deal with their kids. So either illness or like a half day
yep.
or things like that, which is not really vacation either. So yeah, it was pretty interesting to see that. My mom worked for the government, and so she didn't take a lot of vacation, but they had those holidays mm-hmm. kind of built in, and they had regular hours. But now that I think about it, she probably didn't get more than 2 weeks off, like two actual weeks off a year.
Right.
And then she had me, so that's not a vacation.
Yeah.
It's like, I remember 1 year my mom sent me away for 3 weeks to stay with my grandmother. That's probably her only actual vacation
that she had, right?
Like a real vacation. Wow.
Well, I went to a website run by a friend of mine, actually, Emily Simone. It's called Women.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, isn't it?
Emily Simone. I like that. Yeah. It's classy.
Super classy, she's a classy lady. Broad. She's a classy lady. So it's Women Work Life. Emily is has a work life coaching service, and she has worked for years as an advocate in trying to change the way the work week goes and the way that people live their lives in conjunction to work and how to balance it, especially for women.
I don't understand why employers aren't more interested in that. It seems to me that if you accommodate your employees, they mm-hmm. will bend over backwards. So if you accommodate their schedules, and also if you compensate them and incentivize them to make the company, you know, for making the company mm-hmm. better, you would win.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I mean, I've had a lot of jobs. There are some jobs where I look around, I'm like, man, nobody here gives an F.
Yeah.
But they're still here.
But the idea also that women's roles in the workforce, this is from her site, have changed mm-hmm. dramatically in the U.S. over the last several decades.
Yeah.
With many more women and mothers working outside the home, part of the change is due to the family's need to increase their income, but also because women want to have a career. There's
yeah.
something that they're good at or are interested
yeah.
in. They want to develop.
Or maybe they just want more money.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that either.
But many work environments continue to operate as though one parent is at home.
Yeah. When's the last time that happened? That kind of faded in our childhood.
Yeah.
Like, I was noticing, you know, people were getting divorced. You know, by the time you're in middle school in the 80s mm-hmm. and people are getting divorced, you got a lot of single moms out there. Like, they need to get with it.
Right. So the top employees especially are expected, or anybody is expected, to prioritize work over all else and be the ideal worker.
That's just our culture, which is ridiculous. Yeah. Why would work be the most important thing in your life? Unless it's your company.
Right. But this is something that happens to the whole burden goes on to the women.
Yeah.
The women, not necessarily the men. Having a family and having children is great for a man's career. It's not so great for a woman's career.
It's bizarre. It actually it enhances the men who have children. They make more money.
They get
promotions.
Right.
Other people are like, wow, you have a family.
Oh.
The women is like, eh, she's got a family.
Yes.
Now she's going to be slagging off. She's going to be taking time off.
Right. She's got to take care of those kids.
Now
she might get pregnant.
God. You know, we have a pregnant woman in the office running our marketing campaigns.
Yeah.
like that would, you know what I mean? Like that would change anything.
All right. So she has dedicated her life really to coaching women into either finding situations, finding the companies that work with women.
Mm-hmm. So she knows about environments that are already
she's
ready
kind of,
to work with, you know.
Yes.
And it's
not
like
extent, to an extent
women's schedules are, because we're 51% of the population, but everyone's acting like, this is so weird. You're having a kid or you have other things, you know, you're taking care of a family member,
mm-hmm.
maybe your parents or something like that.
Yes. So she helps them explore and create optimal work-life balance and careers that make use of their talents and skills and fit in with their family's needs.
Yeah.
And allow them to be the people or parents that they want to be. So it's fulfilling yourself as a person, your lifestyle, your family, your career, the whole
thing. Does she work with employers as well, like helping them to set up their...
I'm not sure. Actually, that's a great point that she could offer these services to
employers. Because they're the ones that have the problem.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? We should have her on and to talk about
this. Talk about that. Because I'm curious. In the research that I did, they interviewed these people that just sound like the asshole from Office Space.
Mm-hmm.
That were like, I really like my employees. Like, if the employees aren't here as much as possible, they're not dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? I'm one of those people who always, I like to get the job done and go home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd like to say that Emily does work with men too. She works with men and women, but it's mainly, you know, the burden goes on, the responsibility is on the women in these jobs.
Women with people who have other obligations, social or familial, that they care about and they'd like to make it work with their career.
Right. And also, if you want to go to her site and check out Women Work Life, she has a, she'd like to hear from you. She's actually conducting a survey.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. On people who, if you have recently made or have ever made a career change for a better work-life balance, what have you done to make a change for a better work-life balance? And if you go to her site and tell her a little bit about it, you'll be in a drawing for a $75 Amazon card.
Can I go in there too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could do it.
Because I was thinking about, I was a teacher for years, and I actually left teaching for work-life balance.
Really?
Because there were other things that I wanted to do, like this, or write. And teaching, teaching is one of those jobs where, you know, people are like, oh, you get summers off. It's like, you do? Mm. Because we work throughout the summer. We're going to school. Like, I was always doing things, things that are related to teaching, retraining. Mm-hmm. And then you, once the kids leave, you're still working. And so you just end up kind of like working all the time. And because it's, it may not be physically demanding, but it's, you use all of your creativity and it's mentally demanding. So you really don't have any time for writing or comedy or anything else that you want to do that is creative.
Yes.
Because it's, a, you know, it sucks it all up.
Right.
It would be like if you were a professional athlete during the day and then you want to go home, you don't want to go jogging.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Like you don't, you're not interested.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when people in ball, NBA ball players probably want to go home and not do things that are basketball related. So, oh, cool.
Yeah. So Women Work Life, go to our site and check it out and we'll have the link up on our, in the show notes.
Oh, cool. So I wanted to bring up something here that I thought was really interesting. It says, Americans work an average of 1,804 hours a year.
Whoa.
Germans.
Put it that way.
Germans, on the other hand, work 1,436 hours a year. Because now you have the stereotype of Germans is that they work, 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 work all the time. So we're working like 400 hours more than them. And it says generally that Americans work, it says 50% more than the French and Italians.
Wow.
50% more. 39 countries have more vacation days than America. It's standard for Europeans to have 4 to 6 weeks off per year. Americans get 10 days. 10 days. And that's still standard. Like, it was 10 days when we were a kid. It's 10 days now. That's not enough time to do anything.
Wow.
10 days. So they talked about why, and I'll just give out one of the reasons. It says that jobs in the U.S. are more insecure because you can get fired very easily here. In the U.K., if you get fired, here's what you get. If you've been working for your employer for more than 2 years and you get fired, you get half a week's pay for each full year you were under 22, so of years of old age. 1 week's pay for each full year you were 22 to 41.
Wow.
1.5 weeks pay for each full year you were 41 or older.
Wow.
That's not bad. So that's automatic. And it doesn't mean that your employer can't also sweeten the pot and give you some other things. But these are the basics for anybody. So you work at McDonald's from ages from 22 to 41. You get fired. You get a week pay for each year. And during that time, you know, you're supposed to be out there finding something else. But that is the rule for it. I've never been fired, but I've had plenty of friends who have been fired. And that's just it.
Yeah.
Like I quit every job.
Yeah.
As a freelancer, the jobs end.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, most people I know, when they get fired, it's like, that's it, nothing, boom, you're out. And that's, and then you go into unemployment. This is the redundancy pay, and it happens as such. So apparently, because of this, employers are not so excited to fire people
there
at the drop of a hat.
Right.
Because they got to pay for that person to be out there anyway. Why not keep them on? Whereas here in the United States, the idea that the biggest, if you read any like economic stuff, it says the biggest expense in having a business is workers. I'm like, but isn't this your, like, without workers,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to have?
Right.
I don't know. Very interesting. So how are you going to celebrate Labor Day this year?
Gosh, probably with a glass of tasteful white wine. Like I celebrate most things.
I think I will be having tasteful white wine with some friends, and then we saw there was some tasteful white lobster on sale.
Ooh.
So I'm going to, or tasteful red lobster, should I say. At $6.99
a
pound.
White lobster.
Because, but now I feel like they have kids, so I think I'm going to inundate them with some boring labor history facts. Because I really didn't think about Labor Day at all until we did this episode. I never, and I took labor history.
Right.
years ago in college, but I just never thought about it as a day where you could think about life-work balance or work-life balance. You can think about labor, labor history, and all this kind of stuff. It's pretty cool.
It is. It's very cool.
Well, happy Labor Day, people.
Happy Labor Day, everyone. Keep on trucking.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
So you don't think twice about spending the day wandering through, forget I said that.
Huh? Scratch that. You guys in the editing room, cut that.
Yeah.
Cut it.